Welcome to the Tiba Purpose Lived podcast series. In conversation with Gia Whitehead, Tiba Business School co-founder and chairperson.
Good morning and welcome to Tiba's Purpose Lived podcast conversation. Today we welcome our very own Dr. Rudy Kimmy, CEO of Tiba Business School, to share his insights and how the theme of purpose lived underpins and always drives our work and approach to education. Rudy, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Gia. It's an absolute pleasure to be part of your podcast, and I look forward to sharing some of my insights with you.
Rudy, to begin with, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get to being here today? And what have you, what are you doing right now, perhaps?
So I joined Tiba in 2019, and I'm the chief executive officer of the business school, where I oversee the strategic operations and functionality of the school. My journey in education started probably many years ago. I spent over two decades at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban. And prior to that, I was part of a training operation at a diamond mine in the far Northern Cape. So I was always compelled to seeing how I could unlock the potential of people, whether it be in the professional world or whether it be in the academic world. And one of the reasons why I left the mining world is I looked at all these mining operations and the diamonds that were being mined, and I reflected on the Asian tigers. So the Asian tigers are the phenomenal economies you find in Southeast Asia, Taiwan, South Korea, Malaysia, Japan, China. And I realized that the real diamonds are not those little stones you find in the ground, but the real diamonds are your people. And if you can unlock the value in your people, then you'll have all the makings for a sustainable economy. So I'm trying to bring similar thinking to Tiba to unlock the value of our students so that they can become the diamonds and the gemstones that is reflected in our logo and to radiate into their communities, to the country, and hopefully into the world. Thank you.
I want to hear more about you. Where does your purpose live story start? Do you feel like living on purpose means to truly align with your values and beliefs?
Definitely. I think that my purpose started probably hundreds of years ago. My ancestors came from Indonesia, and they arrived in Cape Town as political prisoners. I was born in a city in Kimberley, the city of diamonds, and I was born in Angel Street. And as a toddler, we had to vacate Angel Street under the Group Areas Act. And I think as a young boy at school, I schooled for a couple of years in Kimberley, then went to Durban. And I've always been aware of injustice in society, whether it be political injustice, social injustice, economic injustice. And I think these are what underpinned my journeys in life. So I've always been committed to trying to see how I could contribute towards fixing something. And I suppose this is my purpose. So my purpose is to be an educator. And incidentally, my name, Kimmy, is derivative of the word Hakim. And Hakim in Arabic means wise person. So Indonesia being one of the largest, having one of the largest Muslim populations in the world, you were named after the work that you did. So the Hakims, they were the advisors and the counselors to the royal court on many of these islands that you find there.
Fascinating. And when you speak about it, you as a child and growing up in Kimberley or when you moved, what did you do as a child for fun? What were you passionate about? What did you do that was embarrassing or that looking back when you're older, you would what are you doing now that would make your 8-year-old person self cry?
That's a tricky question. You know, I can't think of anything that I did that was embarrassing, besides perhaps one day riding a bicycle, doing a time trial around the block where we lived and smashing into someone's car, one of the teachers at the primary school that I attended. But I think, you know, childhood for me was a wonderful, adventureful experience. Living in a city, and this was BC, and when I say BC, I don't mean before Christ, but before computers and before cell phones. So we just played. We played in the street. We climbed the trees. We used to scale the hills where De Beers had dumped all the mining, the ground. And it was sheer joy to be able to grow up in an environment where you were completely unrestrained by things that are the toxic things that we are facing today, crime and all of that. Then we could just be children. And that was a wonderful experience. So I don't know whether I've answered your question about anything, but you know, I still yearn for those days. And I think deep inside of me, there's an inner child. There's an inner child that plays, an inner child that dreams up. I mean, my colleagues at SIBA will tell you, I often come up with very crazy, wacky ideas. And I think that those ideas come from the inner child that yearns for freedom, for fantasy, et cetera. And I think that most of the innovations that we probably find in the world today, its genesis lies in the inner child. So I would like to encourage all of us to find that inner child and to bring it out, to play more in the world rather than to be so serious and to be so goal-oriented.
Absolutely. And the only way that we can learn and grow is failing and falling and playing and making those mistakes. And really, and in light of all these challenges that are the reality that we face today, and I speak about BC as before COVID, but now there's so much, you know, so much more. You know, how do we take this theme forward of purpose lived? The concept of purpose lived, how do we take humanity?
You know, you mentioned the word COVID. And I think purpose lived was put into the spotlight during the COVID times. So there are two triggers to what can make us more purpose lived. The one is a catastrophe, like we saw during COVID, when so many people died. And I think many people questioned their lives. They realized how fragile life really is. And so many people that I know over the last 2 or 3 years, probably 20 of them are not around anymore. So when people close to you are afflicted by COVID, you begin to realize that your life probably isn't that special, and that you could be the next victim. In fact, I was in hospital last year, not to COVID, but to another health ailment. But it, whilst lying in hospital, you know, you hear all these stories and you think about things, you realize that life is truly special. But I want to focus more on the purpose-lived aspect of it. You know, life has to be more than just a biological event. For many people, they are just born, and then they are on this treadmill for the rest of their lives, paying the bills, finding a job, chasing the next best thing, and then they die. But when you look for your purpose, when you reflect on what more you can do to leave a legacy or to build a legacy, your life becomes far richer. And I think that all of us have unique attributes in terms of the ideas that we have, the relationships that we have. And when we delve into what our purpose can be, our life becomes meaningful. So I think that purpose lived is probably one of the most amazing concepts that we've birthed at TIBA over the last probably 10 or 15 years, because it brings so much of what we stand for together. And if we can bring purpose lived into the consciousness of people, into the consciousness of students, where they enjoy every single day because they are living their purpose in whichever way. And I'm not saying that purpose needs to be some grandstanding thing where you want to, you know, invent something that is going to change human history. But purpose lived could just be, how do you make today count? You know, we have 86,400 seconds in a day. And that's everyone on the planet, whether your name is Rudy Kimi, Gio Whitehead, or Elon Musk. We have exactly the same amount of time. And yet, so many people achieve so much more. So purpose lived is about living consciously. It's about living mindfully. It's about living more deeply, awakening your senses, your perception to how can you make live a better life, a richer life, a more value-adding life.
And so with all those things, you had a year to live or a short time, like you said, with living in that way. What would you do?
Yeah, so education for me is exactly where I need to be right now. I am living my purpose. I'm living my legacy. And for me, there is no greater joy than bringing hope into a young person's life by removing their blinkers, by illuminating their blind spots, by making them see their own potential. You know, one of the books that I read was by Dr. Viktor Frankl, and he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And it was about his experiences in the death camps in Nazi Germany or in Poland, wherever he was kept. And he brought hope to people where there was absolutely no hope. So when you think of a situation where all your human dignity has been stripped away, where there is the threat of dying at any moment, when you hear and you smell the smoke of people being incinerated in these gas chambers, he brought hope. And I think that is a remarkable experience. We need to bring hope. So purpose live for me is about bringing hope to our students, to my colleagues, to my friends, to my family. I don't always get it right because I think we all become distracted by the challenges of life. But sometimes even in those challenges, you find that there is hope. It just means that you just need to rest with it. You need to rest with suffering. You need to reflect on it. And sometimes you just find that moment of illumination, that epiphany, that awakening that shows you the way out of that, that you are experiencing.
In light of challenges and people burdened by poverty, you know, who are worried about their next meal, how do we expect them to think about their purpose?
That's a very good question, because I think we assume that people who are burdened by poverty are victims. But I don't share that view. Purpose lived isn't about means. It isn't about whether you have money or not money. I'm very much and painfully aware that if you look at sort of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, people are, they have to go through various stages before they can reach actualization. And the lower stage is to make sure that you have enough food to eat. But at the same time, I think purpose lived is about finding your space in this world. So despite all the challenges that you are facing, and I mentioned the story of Dr. Viktor Frankl and what he was experiencing. So I think that anyone can look and find the purpose if they are conscious and willing to do so. So even those who are impoverished and poverty-stricken, they too can find their purpose in trying to live a meaningful life.
Absolutely. And like you say, and at Tiba, we always said we almost flip that Maslow's hierarchy upside down, because it starts with you are and understanding that, or you can go out into that world. So Rudy, other than Ramadan right now, what makes you forget to eat? Like, makes you totally forget about the world around you and makes you passionate?
So I'm an ardent musician. I started something at Tiba called AHA, which means art for healing and affirmation. I keep a guitar in my office, and I found that music has been great therapy for me. So during the days when I hit a flat spot or my mind is a bit too busy, I just go quiet, or I might pick up my guitar and feel the resonance of the strings. And suddenly I feel that whatever the stresses that I have fade away. But, you know, so Ramadan is a great teaching to all of us. We become creatures of habit. So there's no health evidence to say that you have to consume three meals a day or that you have to have eight glasses of water a day. It's all in the mind and it's all in the habit. And now that I'm fasting, I still play tennis. I go for hikes. Yes, I do get tired. When I'm tired, I sit and I rest. So reflection and quiet time is very good. So withdrawing from the busyness of the world is something I can highly recommend, whether you call it meditation, whether you call it prayer, whether you call it mindfulness, whatever it is. But sometimes just to reflect on nothing, to be in yourself, to listen to your heartbeat, to watch the colors of a butterfly, to look at the mountain, whatever it is highly recommended because that allows you to rejuvenate. And it also goes into a, you go into a headspace where when your mind is uncluttered, great things can happen. You know, some of the greatest discoveries have come from silence, just moments of silence. The ancient Greeks used to call it hesia. Hesia is just to be quiet. And I think I often do it. I just sit here and I gaze at, I've got this panoramic view of this awesome Table Mountain. And I sit here and my eyes rest on this mountain and I just focus on my breathing and it's amazing what happens.
And we bring those practices back in school and in, at Tsiba around, you know, that attitude and that heart as well. And if you have a strong sense of purpose and, you know, you probably tend to live longer and have healthier hearts and psychologically that keeps.
So Gia, I want to reflect on that more from a curriculum perspective. Being in higher education, you know, we need to train and prepare young people to transform the world. The world that we are living in at the moment is in a critical state. What we're seeing happening in Ukraine is but a manifestation of a broader illness that has afflicted the world. The illness of arrogance, the illness of lack of empathy, the illness of narrow self-interest, and whether we see it in Ukraine or, you know, Yemen, Gaza, Iraq, whatever happened, Mannenberg in Cape Town. These are major challenges that the world is facing. And it doesn't even end there. It's also how we plunder the natural environment. So we need to bring purpose lived into the curriculum, where at school level, primary school level, secondary school level, at universities, every single curriculum needs to see and to focus on how to make young people more conscious of their actions and the impact of their actions, not only on civil society and the social world that we're living in, but also the natural world. And it seems to me that our educators all over, public higher education, private higher education, they're not aware of that. So Tiba has embarked on that journey many, many years ago, and we need to do more. We need to invest more in that type of thinking through our curriculum, through our students, through our teaching methodologies, through our curriculum, because that is what is ultimately going to save the world, not technology. Technology is an enabler. But if you bring a heart into the headspace and if you connect it with the hand space, with the hands, that synergy is what can make this a more sustainable planet.
Due to some technical difficulty, we now have Rudy Kimmy with us in studio. So Rudy, I look forward to continuing the conversation with you. Rudy, is there a person that you have learned the most in life or believe that has lived a purpose-lived life?
You know, probably to ask for one person would be unfair. There are so many who've lived purposeful lives. But pointedly, one that stands out for me in South Africa, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, the work that he's been doing over a decade has been phenomenal in terms of his humanitarian work and assisting so many thousands of people across the world in distress. The other person, I think, for me, who has lived a purpose-lived life is Malala Yousafzai, the young Pakistani woman who took a bullet from the Taliban because she supported education for girls. And she still continues to do that. So I think those two stand out for me right now. But obviously, there are thousands of others across the planet.
And so if you had to invite people for dinner, would you invite them or anyone else? And what would the conversation be about?
Oof, that's a difficult question. So if I was limited to three people only to have for dinner, I think one would be the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, peace be upon him. A author, Michael Hart, wrote a book about the 100 most influential people in human history. And Prophet Muhammad was rated number one. And I thought that would be a phenomenal dinner companion to find out exactly what went through his mind, the resilience, the challenges that he faced at the time. Another person that I would invite is Arundhati Roy. She's an Indian author, and she's a human rights activist, environmental activist. And I think that the two of them would have quite challenging conversations. And the third person I would invite is my 89-year young mother. She embodies kindness and warmth. And I think she would be the ideal person to have to diffuse any tensions that might arise between Prophet Muhammad and Arundhati Roy.
Amazing. And often I'm seeing the conversations coming up a lot about family and mothers and learning from them, and also age and where they're at in their lives and how they reflect on purpose, where they're at. Rudy, so how do we guide others to identify their values and find their own purpose?
Human beings are gregarious. We live in community. And I think for those who have discovered their purpose is to share their journeys with others. So in the same way that this podcast is intended to unlock people's thinking about leadership, unlock their thinking about purpose-lived lives, we need to talk about this a lot more. We need to write about it. The world is in a state where it needs to hear more about how do you bring purpose into your life? How do you make your life more meaningful? So whether you talk about it, tweet about it, use all the amazing technology that's available to us, we need to try to override some of the bad news in the world. We are inundated with news of war, gender-based violence, all of that stuff. But we need to elevate purpose. And if we do that, in what we're doing through our business school at CIBA, through the curriculum, through our networks, our contacts, I think that we could make more people realize their own purpose.
Rudy, what scares you? And do you think that there is hope?
Nothing really scares me. There's a lovely Afrikaans saying, ek skrik vir niks. You know, there's nothing that makes me want to run away from anything. Obviously, I'm very mindful of the threats and the challenges facing us, be they economic or social or any other threats. I'm concerned about the levels of crime in South Africa. That worries me a lot. I'm concerned about the state of the economy. I'm concerned about what the government has done or not done over 27 or 28 years. But it doesn't scare me to want to leave. It fires me up to try to intervene. So the work that I'm doing here at CIBA and in my life is about intervening. So the conversations I have with my friends, the swimming in the tidal pools, the people that I meet, I try to radiate a sense of hope. So we should never, ever lose hope. Hope is that lighthouse that we see on the distant shore. Hope is the beacon of light that we keep in our hearts. Hope is something that takes us through every single day. As I mentioned earlier on, that everyone has some kind of a crisis, a personal crisis that they're grappling with. But when you have hope, it keeps you going. And that is what we need to do. We just need to keep going.
Absolutely. And it's listening to these podcasts and hearing from others and having role models that we follow that give us that, for those insights.
Absolutely.
So Rudy, to finish off, I'll ask you one more question. What are you most proud about in your life?
I'm most proud about my achievements. And this is not an ego statement. I'm saying it purely about the fact that I've overcome certain challenges in my life. And where I am right now is a consequence of some of the decisions and the battles that I've fought. So I'm proud of where I am. I am healthy. I'm very grateful. So I also live with a life of appreciation of where I am. So the being proud and the appreciation, they go hand in hand. And I use that as a motivation to proceed further along this journey of trying to just, in a small way, leave a better world when I depart from this earthly dimension in years to come.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rudy. Thank you for sharing your insights. Hugely valuable. Lovely to have time to just reflect and connect with.
Thank you, Gia.
And thank you.
I hope that whoever listens to this podcast will use it as a catalyst for them to live their own purpose. Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Thank you.